Welcome back. In this lesson, we're exploring foundations of media literacy and digital information awareness. If you've watched the overview, this will build on that. If not, you'll still be able to follow along. Now, let's go further by exploring practical examples, future workplace relevance, responsible use, and how you can build confidence with this skill.
Absolutely.
So just to kick things off, I want you to imagine this scenario. You are in like this high stakes meeting, right? Presenting a financial forecast to your executive team.
Oh, I can feel the stress already.
Right. And you drop this really compelling game-changing statistic right into your slide deck. The CEO leans in, clearly impressed, and asks you, you know, where you found that data point.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And in that horrifying split second, you realize the article you pulled it from was entirely fabricated by an AI.
Wow.
Like it was just scraped from some bot account on LinkedIn and you never actually checked the primary data. Your credibility just evaporates in real time.
I mean, that is the modern professional's absolute worst nightmare. And unfortunately, as synthetic media and, you know, automated content generation scale up, that scenario is becoming terrifyingly common.
It really is.
We are operating in this environment of just total information chaos. When we talk about media literacy today, we aren't just talking about, like, figuring out if a website is real.
Right. It's bigger than that.
It's digital survival.
Yeah.
It is the active, mechanical ability to critically evaluate and interpret information when the entire digital ecosystem is actively designed to deceive your critical thinking.
Okay. Let's unpack this. Mm-hmm. Why is it that in an age where we have access to literally all the information in the world, students and professionals seem more vulnerable to confusion than ever before?
It's a great question.
Because, I mean, we have more data in our pockets than previous generations had in their entire universities, yet the vulnerability feels so much higher than it was even a decade ago.
Well, the vulnerability doesn't come from a lack of information, right? It comes from a complete inversion of the curation model.
What do you mean by inversion?
So, historically, the bottleneck for information was distribution. It cost like massive amounts of capital to print a newspaper or broadcast a television show.
Oh, sure. You needed printing presses and broadcast towers.
Exactly. And that financial barrier meant there were structural gatekeepers. You had editors, fact checkers, legal teams, all filtering the information before it ever reached the public.
Right. There was a whole process.
But today, distribution is basically free.
Yeah.
The new bottleneck is human attention.
Mm.
The gatekeepers have been entirely replaced by algorithms. And those algorithms, they do not have a metric for truth.
Oh, wow.
They literally only have a metric for engagement.
And engagement is really just like a sanitized word for physiological arousal, isn't it?
Yes, exactly.
Because the platforms operate essentially like casino slot machines. You pull the lever by refreshing the feed, and the algorithm delivers these intermittent emotional rewards to keep you locked in.
That is a highly accurate way to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
To keep you pulling that lever, the algorithm has to bypass your prefrontal cortex.
The logical part of the brain?
Mm-hmm. Right. The logical, analytical part. Instead, it targets the amygdala.
Which is the fear and anger center.
Precisely. Content is actually tested in these microbatches. The platform shows a post to, say, 100 people and measures the dwell time, the scroll speed, the reaction velocity.
It's tracking every micro movement.
Yeah. And if a piece of content triggers a spike of outrage or fear, it gets pushed to a million more people instantly. This is what we call amygdala hijacking.
So if a piece of information makes you furious, it's not necessarily because it's the most important news of the day.
Right.
It's literally because it won the algorithmic lottery for triggering your nervous system.
Exactly. And this is why information awareness is a mechanical skill, not just some theoretical concept.
Yeah.
It requires understanding the invisible scaffolding behind the content. You have to step back and look at the packaging. Like, who funded this? What are the financial or political incentives behind making you feel this specific emotion at this specific time?
Because the systemic risks of failing to ask those questions are massive. If your digital baseline is built on manipulated content, it just cascades.
Oh, absolutely.
You absorb a false premise, you build a worldview or even a professional strategy around it, and then you confidently make catastrophic decisions.
Yes.
But if we flip that, mastering this kind of digital forensics builds this incredible cognitive immune system. It sharpens your critical thinking to the point where you can spot the structural flaws in an argument before you even finish reading the headline.
What's fascinating here is how that immune system actually functions in practice. Because source credibility directly dictates the accuracy of everything we build our knowledge on. It relies heavily on four integrated mechanical habits.
Okay, let's walk through those. What's the first one?
The first line of defense is origin verification. So before you process a claim, you establish the credibility of the entity making it. And you don't just look at their about page. You look at their historical track record for issuing retractions, their funding sources, their recognized authority within the broader industry.
And the second habit ties right into that, which is breaking out of the single source echo chamber. A lot of professionals call this lateral reading.
Yes, lateral reading is so important.
Because instead of just scrolling down an article to read more of it, you open a new tab horizontally. You leave the site entirely to see what independent analysts, competitors, or investigative bodies are saying about that exact same claim.
Lateral reading is crucial because, honestly, a well-designed website can make an absolute fabrication look incredibly professional.
Oh, for sure.
Which brings us to the third habit, addressing the psychological manipulation we discussed earlier. You need to audit the emotional temperature of the content.
Audit the emotional temperature. I like that.
Yeah. If the language is loaded with definitive extremes, or if the headline uses catastrophic phrasing, or if the author relies heavily on adjectives rather than nouns and verbs, the text is attempting to hack your amygdala.
It's just an immediate red flag. Like the moment I feel my heart rate spike while reading an industry update, I know I need to actively deploy my prefrontal cortex.
That's exactly.
Which leads right to the fourth habit, isolating the hard evidence. So stripping away all that emotive language and tracing the claim back to the primary data set.
Right. Looking for the actual proof.
Is there a linked study? Is the data peer reviewed? Or is the author just linking to another article they wrote themselves to create this illusion of consensus?
That closed loop linking is a very common tactic. You follow the citation chain and realize it's just a circle of unverified opinions citing each other.
Right.
Finding the primary data set is really the only way to break that loop.
Okay, I have to push back a little bit here, though.
Sure.
Breaking that loop sounds incredibly rational in a vacuum. And let's talk about the biological reality of being a human being with a smartphone.
Fair point.
When you're scrolling fast and you see a highly sensational quote from a competitor or this viral story about an injustice in your industry, the friction required to not react is immense.
It really is.
Your brain is practically screaming at you to hit the share button, to alert your network, to join the outrage. Opening a new tab to do lateral reading feels almost impossible in that heated microsecond.
Your pushback hits on the single most difficult aspect of digital information awareness. You are completely correct.
It's just human nature, right?
It goes against millions of years of evolutionary biology to pause when presented with a perceived threat or a highly arousing stimulus.
Oh.
Social media engineers are acutely aware of this.
Yeah.
Which is exactly why the share button is frictionless and prominent.
We are literally fighting Harvard-trained behavioral psychologists and supercomputers simultaneously.
And that is exactly why the deliberate pause is the core mechanic of this skill. It is not a natural instinct. It is a forced cognitive friction.
The forced friction.
You have to actively build the muscle memory to stop your thumb from moving. Asking yourself, you know, why do I feel this intense urge to amplify this right now? That separates a digitally resilient professional from someone acting as just an unwitting pawn for an algorithm.
Okay, let's transition this into a concrete future workplace scenario. Because we hear stories about college students stopping the spread of viral hoaxes by doing background research, which is great.
Absolutely.
But the stakes compound significantly when you enter a corporate environment. Let's look at how this plays out in the real world. Imagine, like, a junior analyst at a tech firm.
It's a perfect environment to examine because corporate environments operate on something called transitive trust.
Oh, transitive trust.
Yeah, if you are on an internal communication platform like Slack or Microsoft Teams, your guard is naturally lowered.
Oh, yeah.
You assume that because the network is closed and professional, the information within it has already been vetted.
Yes, the assumption is basically, well, if Sarah from accounting posted this link in the main channel, it must be true.
Exactly. So let's say a highly sensationalized, totally unverified article about a rival company's new product capabilities starts circulating on Twitter. A bot farm amplifies it, the algorithm picks it up, and our junior analyst sees it. The amygdala hijacking takes over, right?
Mm-hmm.
They feel sheer panic that their company is falling behind.
Oh, man.
Without doing any lateral reading, they drop the link right into the company Slack channel.
And because of that transitive trust you mentioned, the panic just becomes contagious. The marketing director sees it, assumes the analyst vetted the data, and suddenly they're pivoting the entire Q3 campaign strategy to respond to a product that doesn't actually exist.
All right, the fallout is catastrophic.
Yeah.
Not only does the company burn capital and resources chasing a ghost, mm-hmm. but when the dust settles and the executive team asks where the intelligence came from, the audit trail leads directly back to that junior analyst.
Right, to them.
In the modern workplace, making business decisions based on unverified information isn't just an oops moment. It destroys your professional reputation instantly.
Yeah.
Taking 3 minutes to trace the primary data set is quite literally a career safeguard.
That concept of the audit trail brings up a really vital point about the architecture of our digital lives. Because verifying information isn't just a defensive strategy to protect your own job. It is a structural responsibility.
Absolutely.
Every single time we interact with a piece of content, we are functioning as a node in a massive network.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, the node concept is the mechanical reality of responsible communication.
How so?
Well, we tend to view ourselves as the end consumer of a timeline. But the algorithm treats you as a distribution junction box.
A junction box?
Yeah, when you share, like, comment, or even just pause your scrolling to read a post, the system registers your engagement. And it uses it to justify pushing that content further down the line to thousands of other nodes.
So when a coordinated bot farm launches a misinformation campaign, they are completely reliant on human nodes failing to verify.
Yes.
They need people to hit share based on pure emotion. If you don't pause, you become an unpaid distributor for a malicious campaign. But if you practice digital forensics, you act as a firewall.
That is the exact mechanism. You break the distribution chain. When you verify before you engage, the junk information hits your node and stops.
It just dies there.
Right. It cannot travel further through your specific network connections. If enough professionals adopt this friction, the structural integrity of the entire digital ecosystem improves. It starves the algorithm of the outrage metrics it actually needs to push the falsehood.
Knowing the mechanics of the algorithm and understanding our role as a network firewall is super empowering. But let's give the listener the actual toolkit. What are the practical growth habits and advanced digital tools they can start integrating into their workflow right now to build this muscle memory?
Well, a really great way to build a habit is to implement a daily audit activity.
Okay, what does that look like?
Take three articles or industry reports you naturally encounter today. Don't just read them, interrogate them. Force yourself to grade the source credibility.
Trace it back.
Exactly. Trace the evidence back to its origin. Map out the author's potential bias, and then make a final ruling on its structural reliability. Doing this actively will permanently alter how you consume digital media.
And you don't have to do all the heavy lifting from scratch, right? Because professionals who are highly digitally aware use specific automated verification tools to accelerate this process. We aren't just talking about Googling a topic and hoping for the best.
Right. The tools required for real verification operate on a much deeper level. For instance, Google Fact Check Explorer isn't just a search engine. It operates using claim review markup.
What does that mean practically?
It actively aggregates structured data from certified publishers and investigative organizations worldwide. If a claim has been debunked, the Explorer shows you the consensus data instantly, saving you hours of lateral reading.
That's huge. And then you have platforms like Snopes. For a digitally aware professional, Snopes isn't just for checking, like, urban legends anymore.
Not at all.
It provides detailed methodologies. When they verify a claim, they show you the exact paper trail, the archived web pages, and the historical context. It essentially teaches you how to conduct an investigation by showing its work.
And for visual media, which is increasingly weaponized, mm-hmm. you have tools like Reuters Fact Check.
Oh, yeah. Images are tough.
They are. But Reuters utilizes advanced digital forensics. They apply reverse image searching to find the original publication date of a photo, and they analyze the metadata within videos to detect synthetic alterations or deepfakes. These aren't just journalist tools anymore.
So what does this all mean? It means integrating these APIs and platforms right into your daily operations.
Yes.
If you're building a presentation, you run your core stats through the Fact Check Explorer. If you see a jarring image of a competitor, you run a reverse image search before discussing it on Teams.
Exactly.
These tools need to be as fundamental to your daily workflow as your email client. They are the instruments you use to continuously test the structural integrity of the information you rely on.
As we start synthesizing everything we've explored today, the overarching theme here is the necessity of continuous adaptation.
Yeah.
Media literacy is a living, breathing practice. It dramatically elevates your critical thinking, ensuring the foundation of your professional expertise is built on rock-solid, verified reality rather than algorithmic illusions.
We've covered a lot today. The mechanics of amygdala hijacking, the necessity of lateral reading, the dangers of transitive trust in the workplace, and the digital forensics tools you can use to act as a network firewall.
That's a lot to process.
It is. So to bring this into your daily life, I want to pose this reflection prompt directly to you, the listener. How can stronger media literacy improve my ability to make informed decisions online? Think about a strategic decision you have to make this week and how actively tracing the primary data might completely change your approach.
This raises an important question as we look toward the horizon. Artificial intelligence is exponentially increasing the volume and the hyperrealism of fabricated information.
It's everywhere now.
In a future where automated content generation is entirely indistinguishable from reality at a casual glance, will the simple, deliberate, mechanical act of pausing to verify become the single most valuable leadership skill in the modern workplace?
That is an incredible thought to hold on to. The ability to inject friction into a frictionless system, it might just be the ultimate competitive advantage. We encourage you to stay curious, stay responsible with the information you amplify, and stay future ready by integrating these digital forensics into your daily habits.
Because building that cognitive immune system is really a lifelong pursuit.
Definitely. Be sure to review the end of module study guide and complete the workbook activities to lock in these concepts. Also, to expand your understanding of these mechanics, check out the books Factfulness, The Death of Expertise, and Blur. You can find the authors and full publication dates for these exceptional resources directly in your course reference list. Thank you so much for joining us for this deep dive. It's been an absolute privilege exploring the mechanics of our digital world with you, and we wish you the best as you build your digital confidence. Take care.